when we're working with a new client, we're kind of trying to look into their life. We're trying to say, was this person sort of cut from a conventional boomer cloth?
Advisors need to be educating themselves, you know, because this is very complicated.
Hi, this is the Insights Panel podcast from Bright House Financial, a podcast for financial professionals about retirement planning. We bring you insights from leading experts to help you stay ahead of the curve and have more productive conversations with your clients. My name is Amy He, and in this episode, the Insights Panel discusses the factors that influence your clients as they age. Throughout retirement, your clients' personal networks, interests, and health will be changing. And it's important for you to know what's influencing them as you work with them on their financial goals. Our experts discuss some best practices to better understand and adapt to your clients' shifting retirement lifestyles. Speaking to us are Grant McCracken, social anthropologist and author of Culture and Consumption, and Matt Oxley, advisor champion and CEO of the Oxley Institute. First, I spoke to Grant about how to move beyond generational data and really understand your clients' needs.
So there used to be a few categories would help. And, you know, age categories were perfect, right? You had boomers, you had Gen X, you had Gen Y or millennials, and now you have Gen Z. Those were just simple generalizations that made the world simpler to understand. And now sort of everyone says, you know what? You can't categorize me. Like, just stop it. It's sort of insulting. Apart from insulting, it's just wrong. You know, you put me in a bucket with other boomers, and frankly, I don't see that I have anything in common with the people I'm supposed to share a generation with.
How can advisors move past these traditional categories?
I think for advisors, a pretty clear kind of strategy here when it comes to these categories. Use them for openers, and then be prepared to change them when you get data that tells you that the boomer label doesn't quite fit. And you say to yourself, that's almost the first question, I guess, when we're working with a new client and we're kind of trying to look into their life, their heart, their head, their mind, their experience. We're trying to say, well, is this person sort of cut from a conventional boomer cloth? And if I can check that box, then I can make a whole set of additional assumptions and I can engage with them in a whole set of financial strategies. Or does it look like actually they're moving off signal in one way or another? And then the question is, does that signal fall into a new box that I've seen before? In which case, now I have a different but clear view corridor of financial strategies.
How can advisors tell what type of client they're working with?
There are some indicators. One of them is, you know, it's just clothing. Clothing is a beautiful indicator of the extent to which you are either hewing to the convention or doing something a little daring or out of the beaten path. So clothing is good. Anything that falls into the conversational stream, what are you watching? Where are you taking your summer vacations? Any set of consumer choices, all of those consumer choices are made in order to express a kind of lifestyle identity or a cultural identity. So we can reverse engineer all of them in order to look into someone's life and figure out who they are and where they're going. And we can get there ahead of them. I mean, every analyst is potentially Sherlock Holmes, right? Picking up these fine little signals and going, oh. And of course, you know, we're in love with Sherlock Holmes precisely because he can turn very fine signals into entire understandings of what's going on in the world. And I think the advisor is in that position to start using fine signals as indicators of who their client is.
So how can advisors have better conversations to understand their client's lifestyle and personality?
So it's body posture, it's leaning forward, it's looking at them in the eye, nodding our heads. At the moment that they've said something they're not quite sure about, if you lean in and you nod, I don't mean in any kind of overdramatic way, but subtly, you're signaling, I'm interested in what you say. I approve of what you say. What you say has engaged me. So the richer the signals of approval, the more confident, the more forthcoming, the more open you become.
What do you think advisors should avoid doing?
It's like, there's that old joke, vaudeville joke about the comedians who get together for a conference. And because it's such a tight community and they all know the same jokes. Instead of telling the jokes, they just number the jokes. So somebody stands up and says 42 and everybody roars with laughter because joke 42 is really funny. There's a way in which, you know, as part of your professional competence, you're doing so much of the same work over and over again that you just fall into a kind of pro forma, kind of pilot-driven, or I should say automatic kind of frame of mind. And I think maybe that's one of the benefits of really getting to know your client better and better, is that it really, that's a stream of novelty that I think can have the effect of kind of breaking into the deeply habitual feeling that sometimes kind of freezes over our behavior as we interact with clients.
That was Grant on the skills advisors can hone to have more productive conversations with their clients. Next, I spoke to Matt about how clients' worlds are changing as they age and how advisors can help manage them through those transitions. First, I asked, are clients' social networks changing?
Yes, to a certain extent they are, because they're not interacting with their colleagues at work like they used to. Maybe they're traveling more and they meet people on these sort of, it's happened many a time, they go on a cruise or this sort of elite small cruise tour of wherever it might be, and they meet people who do this type of, who are also retired with similar interests, and all of a sudden they have these long-range connections. These networks, these social groups do change. And if they're in an assisted living, and then that speaks for itself, and that's all around the social environment there within their assisted living.
What about their health? How's that changing?
A real sad development is we see, you know, dementia starting to creep into their minds. I mean, here's a situation where we had a husband and wife. Now, the advisor's done the right things. The advisor's really connected with the affluent woman of the household. But the affluent man of the household is always very successful, very wealthy, and has the dementia has been going on now for about 10 years in a slow decline. He's there, but not there. It's just, it's a sad, sad story. So you see that. And advisors really need to be dialed in, because this is a very sensitive topic, because it's happening more than you realize.
So what specifically can an advisor do to manage their aging clients?
First and foremost is make absolutely certain they have all of their financial affairs, the I's dotted and T's crossed. So all of their financial planning is done and put to bed. You know, that it's communicated clearly, they've done their work. Secondly, they should really, you know, be in touch with their, you know, the health of their clients. And this is a little bit of a delicate dance, but by being emotionally connected with your top clients, you're going to be in conversations about health. And whether they're having a knee replaced, a hip replaced, or somebody had a tumor, you know, to be on top of that. When it comes to, you know, dementia, hopefully, you know, there's one of the spouses can work with the advisor and make the proper decisions. You know, when it comes to healthcare, hopefully the decisions have been made in advance and they've gotten the proper advice, so they're not financially strapped because of health issues. You know, but, you know, when it comes to, you know, their traveling, their budgets, it's really, you know, where the advisor can come into play is just, you know, helping them stay on budget. What is their cash flow? What can they do? What should they be careful about doing? And then third is connecting with the next generation, helping them, you know, with their children and their children's, you know, financial literacy, so they understand the financial world, so they're not taking advantage of somebody when it comes to investments.
That was Matt on staying on top of your client's financial affairs. Thanks to Matt and Grant for their insights, and don't forget to join us for the next episode when we talk about how to best engage with your client's children, benefiting both your business and your client's financial health. You can find more episodes of the Insights Panel podcast on brighthousefinancialpro.com/insightspanel or subscribe for free through any podcast app to receive new episodes direct to your mobile device. Stay ahead of the curve with the Insights panel from Bright House Financial. This information is brought to you courtesy of Bright House Financial, Inc., that provides, through its affiliates, annuities and life insurance products issued by Bright House Life Insurance Company, Charlotte, North Carolina 28277, and in New York only by Bright House Life Insurance Company of New York, New York, New York 10017. The opinions expressed are those of the speakers, and the information presented is for educational purposes only. Speakers were compensated for their participation.